atmosphere. Hort said. No fail-safe mechanism is going to help that much damage, Diego agreed. He motioned them through the hatch. Inside, the wind howled through the corridors. Dirt had piled into the corners where the bulkheads met the deck. Long wires hung from broken ceiling panels like overgrown jungle vines, and gouges in the metal told the story of a battle fought within the corridors. The organics definitely got in here, Balma said. He roved his rifle over the intersecting corridors as they progressed down the corridor, leaving a trail of footprints behind them. Bastards probably took every last human in here. Let's hope they aren't still here, Diego said. Come on, let's get to the cargo hold and get the hell out of here. They plunged deeper into the ship, the dark interior swallowing them. Red emergency lights flickered intermittently. Even in the depths of the ship, Mars's wind churned down the corridors, scratching grit against their suits. It threatened to drown their communications. How much longer? Hort asked. Sonya's voice sounded over their comm systems.
2 decks down and approximately 300 meters down another corridor toward the rear. The sunspot's deck plan is nearly a clone of this one, so it should make navigation easier for you.
They resumed prowling down the corridors, the wind and the blinking emergency lights their only companions. Even down here, the wind, penetrating the damaged portholes and hull, carried a brutal force. The scrape of grit against bulkhead and armor had become almost like white noise to Balma, and it threatened to blend into the background noise of the air whooshing through his respiration system. Then he heard it. A scrape, followed by a scratch that sounded like metal against metal. He knew the sound and paused in mid-stride.
Did you hear that?
He whispered. He probed the hall with his helmet-mounted lights. The lights seemed so weak, so horribly inadequate in the inky darkness surrounding them. The wind? Hort asked, staring through his visor with an arched eyebrow.
No, something else.
Balma said. A shiver snaked down his spine. He held his breath, determined to listen for it again. The noise harkened memories of the organics infiltrating the biosphere in Cheyenne Mountain. That incursion had nearly been a bloodbath. He prayed he was wrong.
Must have missed it, Diego said. You sure you heard something?
I'm not so sure now. Balma said.
Maybe it was his nerves getting the better of him, especially if he was alone in hearing the suspect sound. They pushed forward down the ladders toward the bowels of the ship. Soon they'd be at the cargo hold. The goosebumps prickling Balma's skin never went away, though. He strained to listen for more scraping. Nothing. Just the wind and grit, and the labored breaths of the other two filtering in over the comms. Something moved in Balma's gut. He didn't like it. As much as he tried to convince himself that maybe he was just hearing things, he couldn't do it. The other two had spent most of the organic invasion in a submarine, the GOA, deep in the ocean. They hadn't faced the sheer number of organics he had. They hadn't lived through organics invading their stronghold in Cheyenne Mountain. He knew an organic claw scraping across a deck when he heard one. Nah, this time he wasn't wrong.
Guys,
Balma said. Diego and Hort both stopped. Their helmet-mounted lights landed on him.
I think...
The screech of breaking metal suddenly exploded overhead. Long, skinny legs tore through the broken ceiling panels. Balma whipped his rifle up at them. Claws raked over the deck, and one of them caught Diego and threw him off his feet. He sprawled on the deck and lost the R-vamp. Before Balma could jump to retrieve it, the grotesque spider pushed the rest of itself through the rent in the ceiling. Its armored carapace gleamed black, and its globular eyes reflected the malicious red of the emergency lights. A faint blue glow shimmered around its arachnid form, too, signaling the presence of its shield. It had been months since Balma had seen one of these bastards up close. and the alien was just as frightening now as it had always been. It was a living, breathing weapon that would stop at nothing to dismantle its prey into a million red chunks of flesh and bone. A huge claw reared back, pointed directly at Diego's chest. Diego crab-crawled away, still on his back, struggling desperately to escape his impending doom. Balma's finger tightened around his trigger, but Ort was in his way, and Diego too close in the cramped corridor. There was no clear shot, not at this distance, his eyes locked on the R-vamp. The spider stood between the device and them. There was no retrieving that either. The claw shot forward. Its aim was true. Balma imagined it tearing through Diego's armor plates and brittle bones, puncturing the soldier's heart.
"Hell no!"
A rumbling voice boomed. Ort threw himself at the descending claw, his huge body hitting the side of the spider's leg. It wasn't enough to cripple the leg, but the claw punched into the deck, missing Diego's chest by millimeters. Now Balma had an open shot. He let loose a fusillade of pulse fire. Rounds slammed against the spider's shield, splashing over it like snowballs flung against concrete. It wasn't enough to do any damage, but it did distract the beast. The spider's mandible spread, and it let out an ear-splitting shriek. Balma's fingers itched to grab an EMP grenade.
"Get the hell out of the way!"
Ort grabbed Diego's suit collar and dragged him back toward Balma's position, while Balma unleashed rounds at the spider. Just a second or two more, and the other two soldiers would be far enough away. The beast clogged up the corridor. It tried to push through using its spindly legs, which tapped and scraped against the deck and the bulkhead. Finally, laboriously, it pulled itself forward, crawling, squeezing through the narrow space. Mandibles and joints clicked. Gooey saliva dripped from its fangs. Balma snagged an EMP grenade and let it fly. Close quarters was never a good place to let loose a grenade, EMP or otherwise. A frag grenade at this distance would pierce their suits with 1,000 flechette shards of shrapnel. An EMP blast, if it caught them too close, would fry their armored suits. It would freeze the humans inside them in place, making them vulnerable. But there was no other choice. The EMP grenade went off and another shriek followed. The shield surrounding the spider shimmered before disappearing.
"Now!"
Balma yelled. Shots punctured the monster's legs and bulbous thorax. Blue blood spilled from the fresh holes. The spider pulled itself down the corridor toward them, undeterred by its fatal injuries. Legs gushing blood scrambled for purchase against the bulkheads, its claws leaving fresh silver gouges in the dust-covered metal. Balma continued to shoot at the monster, riddling it with rounds. Flesh and chunks of carapace flew from each impact across the alien's body. The beast's maw opened and closed as if it was already chewing on human flesh. But Balma didn't let that frighten him. He stood his ground and continued pounding the alien with pulse fire. Its movements became jerkier until it finally crashed to the deck with a crack. Blue fluid oozed out of the cracks in its armor. Balma flicked off some of the gunk that had landed on his suit. He cautiously strode over the spider's legs and climbed over its body. Even through his armor, he imagined he could feel the heat escaping from the fresh corpse. Sliding down the other side, he scooped up the dropped R-vamp. Only then did he pause to gulp down air and catch his breath. Ort and Diego came over the spider next.
"It's been a while since we faced those bastards," Diego said.
He used the back of his gloved hand to wipe the spider's blood from his visor.
"Almost forgot how much of a pain in the ass they were."
Ort jammed a fresh magazine into his rifle.
"Thanks, guys. I owe you one," Diego said, taking point again.
Balma merely nodded. They prowled the rest of the way to the cargo hold. All the while, Balma listened and watched for other signs of the organic's presence. Diego and Ort seemed equally transfixed by every creak from the ventilation ducts and each blast of wind pouring past them. But there was no more telltale evidence of another spider stalking them in the corridors.
"Maybe we got lucky," Diego said. "Just a lone spider left behind."
"Maybe," Balma said. Luck had never really been on their side. Tenacity and pure force of will, maybe, but not luck. "These things are like roaches when there's one." He let the words trail off.
"Oh,"
Ort grunted. A remaining emergency light glowed above another hatch. The corridor opened up around it, and Balma found himself looking at a sign marked, "Cargo Hold."
"We're here," Diego said.
"Balma, grab a stash of that cryostat fluid. Ort, you grab some food and water, and then let's get the hell out of here." God, it would feel good to be back in the crippled sunspot now, Balma thought, back with Holly and the kids. He hadn't realized how much that ship had become a second home until he'd left it. Balma shouldered his rifle and stared down the sights, ready to fire on anything that moved in the narrow corridor around the corner. Maneuvering toward the edge of the open hatch, he got a clear view into the vast cargo hold. As his aim roved over the crates of supplies, his stomach felt like it had plummeted straight into Mars's core. All across the cavernous space glowed a sight that had become far too familiar on Earth. They were everywhere. Striking blue orbs, packed between boxes and vehicles, suspended from the rafters, all with skinny, desiccated bodies floating within them. They had found the crew of the Radiant Dawn. And the crew was not alone. The hulking forms of spiders clambered all over the hold, dozens upon dozens of them. Captain Noble's gums felt like alligator skin, and his tongue was like the leather sole of a shoe. And that wasn't even the worst part. With his finger, he traced a line across his swollen lips. They were still sealed shut. No matter what he did, he couldn't get them to open. He sat on the cold floor of the orb, arms wrapped around his legs. Ribbit and Roots both watched him from their orbs. Although they weren't able to verbally communicate, he could tell both of the aliens were curious about what the multidimensional aliens had done to him. Roots once again hung from the top of his orb like a light fixture, his three compound eyes locked onto Noble. Ribbit croaked, then turned away. It waddled on its webbed feet and stick legs to the corner of its orb and then curled up, apparently no longer interested in Noble. The captain wasn't the only one acting differently. The frog-like alien seemed lethargic, and the gooey slime that normally coated its green flesh was gone, leaving red cracks in its hide. Noble watched Ribbit for a few more minutes while picking at his lips. His fingernails were already whittled down and bleeding from trying to claw his way out of the orb, but he did have part of a thumbnail left. He used the edge to saw at the flesh back and forth until he tasted the metallic hint of blood inside his mouth. He used his tongue to spread it around his dry gums, joining the little saliva he was still producing. Ribbit let out another croak, a long, melancholy noise that made Noble look up. They couldn't talk to one another, and the creature was annoying, but he still felt a connection with Ribbit and with Roots, almost as if they were friends. Watching Kurt die had been torment, and seeing Ribbit sick could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. He couldn't take much more of this. Anger helped fuel sawing his lips with his thumbnail. Come on. Come on. Groaning, he finally managed to force them apart. He took in a long gasp of the muggy air, filling his lungs. Blood trickled down his lips and filled the inside of his mouth. He spat a gob of crimson saliva out on the orb wall, the liquid sizzling as it hit the force field. The faint smell of smoke filled his space. Ribbit had stopped croaking. He checked on the alien above him. It was asleep. The creature's torso slowly moved up and down. Red goo slid down its hide. Noble shook his head. This was supposed to be some sort of alien Noah's Ark, right? But if the aliens were so advanced, why couldn't they keep their prisoners alive? First Kurt, then the alien in the orb to his left, and now Ribbit. He thought back to farms on Earth, and remembered images of farmers tossing diseased or even just potentially infected livestock out like trash. Maybe the prisoners on this ship weren't important to the organics, or perhaps they were just weeding out the aliens that didn't make the cut like those farmers had their livestock. Noble dragged his arm across his lips, smearing blood on his skin. He moved over to the edge of his orb to look down. There was another human down there, somewhere. And now that he could talk again, he was going to try and communicate before the multidimensional aliens returned. It had been so long since he'd spoken to anyone besides Kurt, and he had no idea who this other person was. Perhaps it was someone from his crew, but who? He thought back to the battle on the tarmac, when he had stayed behind with the team of soldiers to hold back the aliens while the sunspot launched. Most of the memories were vague, but he did remember watching Finn, Lucia, and Reynolds go down. The only person Noble could recall being captured besides himself was Kurt. In his mind's eye, he visualized the blue light pulling them into the monstrous belly of an alien ship. He racked his memories, but his brain was slush. It hurt to remember. Motion in the orb below finally pulled Noble back to reality. Roots moved from the ceiling of its orb down the side, using the wormy appendages to clamber across the surface. Noble watched with fascination, trying to understand how the creature wasn't being affected by the electricity. An idea seeded in his mind as he sat there watching. He spent a good hour studying the creature before he finally spoke. "Hey, Roots," he said quietly. The alien looked up at Noble. It was smart enough to know the name he had called it 100 times. Perhaps it would also be smart enough to follow a command. Noble pointed at his orb wall with a finger. "Touch," he said. Roots didn't seem to understand. "Touch," he entreated, using his finger to point again. Roots seemed to catch on, and used a spindly arm to reach out toward the orb wall. The skeletal tip cut right through the blue hide of the orb, the fingers slicing into the black space beyond. "Holy shit," Noble whispered. Roots tilted its bulb head from side to side as Noble clapped. "Good job," he said a little too loud. He froze, waiting to see if his mistake had cost him. But the void between his prison and the orbs across the way remained empty. So Roots could escape whenever he wanted. Why hadn't he done so already, then? The answer loomed in Noble's head almost as soon as he proposed the question. Where would Roots go if he did escape? The alien would be asking to die, trying to run around lost in this cavernous place. If the aliens hadn't caught his stunt with Roots, maybe it was time to figure out who this other human was trapped in here with him.
"Hey! Can you hear me?"
His voice was rough, his throat dry like sandpaper. Despite the irritation, he continued yelling.
"I know there's another human here. Please answer me before those things come back."
Several of the alien prisoners replied in their otherworldly voices, but if there was another human out there, they were keeping quiet now. Noble rested his voice, saving what was left for later. He drained his bladder on the floor and watched as the liquid was absorbed. The technology here was amazing. That made it all the harder for him to understand how they could have such a hard time keeping their prisoners alive. But then again, his body and the bodies of the other aliens, like Ribbit, were fragile and mercurial. They weren't machines you could just program. Biologically, they needed nutrition, care, and even mental stimulation.
"Come on, say something!"
Noble tried again. But like so many other times, only silence answered. He wasn't sure how long he rested on the floor, curled up and gripping his body, trying to stay warm. At some point, the floor of the orb rumbled under his flesh, the hum of the engines reverberating through the hull and bulkheads. He could feel it across his skin and in his bones. Ribbit heard it, too, and started croaking at the sudden vibration. Getting up on his hands and knees, Noble crawled over to the edge of the orb for a better view. Something was happening. The ship seemed to be accelerating at first, but then he realized the change in motion was actually the opposite. They were slowing. Noble pushed himself to his feet, the cord feeding him nutrients coiling. He stood there, naked, his heart beating, eyes flitting rapidly. He had been waiting for something to happen for so long that he didn't quite believe this was real. The ship continued to slow. This had to be it. After what seemed like an eternity of traveling, they were coming to a stop. They had finally reached their destination. A small voice at the back of Diego's mind told him that his intuition had been right. Rushing into this ship had led them into exactly the type of situation he had wanted to avoid. His plan would have saved them from this. But there was a much louder voice now. In fact, many louder voices. The spiders shrieked with the unholy wails of monsters reserved for nightmares, A hellish cacophony drilled into his eardrums. The cacophony threatened to drown his thoughts, but years of combat experience helped him focus.
"Use the R-Vamp!"
Diego yelled. He let loose a barrage of rounds into the nearest spider. The monster stumbled into the spray and rushed them, mandibles opening and clamping shut, eyes glowing with animalistic fury. Diego felt none of the confidence that wearing NTC battle armor or holding a pulse rifle usually gave him. He had spent so many hours running live fire exercises and target shooting that his rifle had become an extension of his person. It was as much a part of him as his fingers were, and usually gave him a healthy dose of confidence. Now it seemed inadequate. The spider and a half dozen of its brethren followed, undeterred by his weapon. Some flickered and scurried across the ceiling, while others darted between the glowing blue orbs on the floor of the hold. Cargo crates spilled open as the spiders ran into them, and the scratch and scrape of the spider's claws over metal rang out with palpable force.
"Where's that R-Vamp?"
Diego screamed over the spider's crazed voices.
"I'm working on it!"
Bauma yelled back. He pulled back the handle on the portable R-Vamp and aimed it into the vast cargo hold.
"Here we go!"
The R-Vamp whined as it released its electromagnetic pulse. Diego could practically see the invisible wave as it washed over the spiders. Their shields shimmered, then fell. Their mandibles opened as if screaming in surprise. Several tumbled and tripped, and others trampled them, carried onward by their relentless momentum and hunger. Diego Ord and Bauma unleashed a furious barrage of rounds into the spider's ranks. The beasts crashed into each other. Legs blew apart and joints buckled. Blue blood ran freely from massive wounds carved by pulse rounds. This time, at least, distance and surprise were on their side instead of the spiders. Like machines, the three soldiers fired and switched to fresh magazines.
"Changing!"
Ort yelled. Corpses quickly piled in the spaces between the orbs and stacks of crates, but Diego was running through his ammo too damn fast. Even as the bastards fell, more of them poured out from the recesses of the cargo hold, while others punched through hatches from intersecting corridors. They filled the hold.
"There are too many!"
Ort screamed over the din of gunfire.
"Changing!"
Diego and Bauma covered Ort's firing zone while he jammed a fresh mag home. A spider made it past the wall of corpses, swiping at him in answer. Dead arachnid bodies tumbled in a grisly landslide as the beasts scrambled over them. Diego aimed and fired on it until his rifle clicked.
"Changing!"
he shouted. He let his empty magazine clatter at his feet and replaced it with a fresh one. A quick inventory told him he had only 3 magazines left, and an even quicker assessment of the cargo hold told him that wouldn't be enough. Another roar blasted from a distant corridor, shaking the bulkheads.
"What the hell was that?"
Ord asked.
"Changing!"
He ducked behind a crate as he changed his magazine.
"Sentinel!"
Bauma replied.
"Big lizard son of a bitch!"
"Shit!" Diego hissed. He fired on another spider. This time there was no crack of armor or splash of blue blood. The alien careened toward them like a hormone-addled bull seeing red, its shields still up.
"We could use that R-Vamp!"
Diego said.
"Still recharging!"
Bauma replied. A fresh wave of spiders scuttled through the cargo hold. They crashed into each other, all bitten by the pangs of unbridled hunger. These had been hidden in corridors and areas of the ship beyond the cargo hold and were unaffected by the initial R-Vamp blast, and the flow of spiders showed no signs of stopping.
"EMP grenades out!"
Diego ordered. The trio sent the grenades out to disparate portions of the hold. 3 flashes of light later, more of the spider's shields had been temporarily shattered. The aliens ran headlong into the soldiers' rounds, as if they could tell they were almost out of ammunition. Another roar from the sentinel sent a tremor through the ship. Rifle running dry, Diego knew this was it.
"Turn back!"
he ordered.
"Retreat!"
Their mission was a bust. There would be no retrieving food or water or ammunition or cryostat fluid here. The only thing to be gained here was death at the claws of these monsters.
"No!"
Bauma said, laying down fire like a madman until his magazine emptied and he had to switch mags.
"We have no choice!" Diego said. "Move, move, move!"
Sophie was going to die. Hell, they were all going to die. If not now, then in a couple of weeks. Christ, things had gone from terrible to hopeless. The sentinel's voice boomed again. This time it wasn't just the sound that rocked down the corridor.
"There it is,"
Ort said, pointing down the corridor they had just gone through. A reptilian head emerged from the shadows. Its eyes gleamed at the meager beams cast by Diego's helmet-mounted lights. The monster's claws bit into the bulkhead as it wormed its way forward. The thing barely fit in even this relatively wide corridor. It looked as if some ugly monstrosity was being birthed by a metallic beast. Muscles rippled under armor plates, and its shields gave off an evanescent glow. Now even Bauma showed no hesitation.
"Run!"
he yelled. Their boots clattered against the deck. Behind them, a wall of clanging claws and demonic voices urged them on. Cold adrenaline blasted through Diego's blood vessels, and his muscles worked as if driven by pistons. There was no use even firing at the beasts now.
"Back to the rhino!"
he yelled. A new, infuriatingly calm voice rattled over their comms. Sonia.
"Lieutenant, I have been able to interface with some of the working systems aboard the Dawn. Outboard cams show organic activity on Mars's surface in close proximity to the ship. It appears many of the aliens have escaped the Dawn's confines. You may have agitated a nest. They are beginning to race away from the ship."
"Why the hell would they do that?"
Ord asked. Diego's stomach flipped. Bauma shared a wide-eyed look that said he'd come to the same conclusion.
"They're looking for the sunspot," Bauma said. "Sonia, warn Emmanuel," Diego said.
"On it, Lieutenant,"
she responded. The spiders shrieked and roared behind them, claws slashing at the ceiling and bulkheads. The sentinel plunged through their ranks, crushing them beneath its hulking mass and tossing others aside like rag dolls. Even if they escaped this horde, even if the team made it back to their rhino, what then? Lead these bastards straight back to the sunspot to ensure everyone else on Martian soil died? They had been on the planet for no more than a couple of hours. And already their doom rose before Diego, a tsunami ready to crash down on him. He hadn't survived the depths of the dwindling oceans, the torturous route to the sunspot, and then a disastrous landing on this planet, only to let all these people relying on him die. Captain Noble had trusted him to protect Emmanuel, Sophie, and the others.
"I'm sorry,"
Diego thought.
"I failed you. I failed them."
The screams of the organics stabbed at his eardrums. Their claws drew closer, their mandibles clicking with audible ferocity. Joints snapped and popped, echoing madly through the corridors. Desperation and despair hung heavy over Diego's racing mind. Bauma and Ort ran beside Diego. They fired behind them sporadically, desperate to stem the mad rush of aliens flowing after them. Their labored breaths came over his comms loud and clear. A sudden heat welled up in Diego's chest. Bauma and Ort hadn't given up, and neither would he. There had to be a way out of this, a way to destroy these organics and save the sunspot, a way to give themselves just a few more days, maybe even just a few more hours to come up with a better plan, improvise and adapt. That's how they'd come this far. That's how they'd outlasted nearly every single other member of the human race, and that's how they would survive this battle. Improvise and adapt.
Chapter 6.
"Emmanuel looks scared,"
David said, looking up at Jeff.
"We should do something."
They were both still in the med bay, and Emmanuel was standing at a terminal speaking with Sonia, Holly next to him. Jeff agreed with his brother, but Emmanuel seemed focused, and Jeff didn't want to interrupt him. He couldn't make out everything the doctor was saying to Sonia. Then Bauma and Diego came through on the comm link.
"They're headed your way," Diego's voice rang over the comms, sounding out of breath. "We'll try to stop them, but there are so many. They're everywhere."
"Shit," Emmanuel muttered, the color draining from his face.
"Sonia, what's the status of the sunspot's weapon systems?"
Diego asked.
"One turret station is functional," the AI said. "All comm relays, including intra-ship communications and remote control to the turret, are out. It can only be fired manually. However, there may be more damage than I can report. I've lost direct sensor and monitoring capabilities to almost everything else within that corridor."
"Any way to bring the other turrets online?"
Emmanuel asked. As Jeff watched, his gaze swept over Jeff and David, then Sophie. His eyes lingered on her chamber before he turned back to Sonia's holographic image.
I am afraid not,
Sonya said. Is that dust storm going to be a threat? Holly asked, staring out of viewport.
It has appeared to shift direction,
Sonya answered.
It may intersect with us, but the storm itself does not pose a threat to the sunspot.
Will it blow the organics away? Emmanuel asked hopefully.
My sensors detect the winds are not strong enough to thwart the organics' advance.
Emmanuel looked away for a second and brushed his fingers through his hair. He let out a long breath. Jeff knew what that meant. Their dad had looked like that when he was really worried, which was rare. It was an expression of defeat and resignation.
Doctor, if I may, I do have one suggestion,
Sonya said.
Yes, go ahead.
Emmanuel looked eager for some kind of answer. Jeff leaned forward on this whole big spaceship. There had to be some other way to fight off the incoming organics.
I recommend that you immediately escort everyone to the agricultural biome,
Sonya said.
After the organic assault on this vessel and the subsequent crash, it is the section of the ship with the best structural integrity. The biome will offer the greatest protection against the organics, and there is a 66% probability that it will prolong your survival for at least 2 to 3 hours.
That's not a solution, Holly snapped. We need more than 2 hours.
You may potentially have 3,
Sonya replied. That was not the answer the adults were looking for. Jeff's eyes danced between Holly, Emmanuel, and Sonya.
What are we going to do?
David whispered, inching closer to Jeff. He put an arm around his younger brother's shoulder.
Don't worry. We'll be fine. Bauma is out there fighting and won't let the organics get to us.
Emmanuel and Holly were talking in hushed voices now. Jeff wasn't sure he really believed his own assurances to David. They'd seen how the organics operated, and that even seasoned Marines like Bauma could lose to the aliens. Sergeant Overton hadn't been able to stop them. Jeff looked at Sophie. He remembered when he'd first met her at White Sands, after he and David had fired on the organics chasing her in Overton. She had returned the favor by saving him and David, whisking them away to safety and ensuring they had a whole team to survive with.
Doctor,
Sonya said, appearing on the terminal screen again,
the organics are now within visual range. Diego and the others are still trapped aboard the Radiant Dawn. I estimate no more than 15 minutes before the first spider finds the sunspot.
15 minutes, Jeff thought. That wasn't much time. He remembered something else Sophie had once told him. Back on Earth, he, David, Owen, and Jamie had escaped the prying eyes of the organics. The aliens' sensors relied on detection of water content to find their targets and steal the resource.
However, those sensors had... what did she call it?
A resolution limit? They could detect adult humans, but kids were practically invisible to them. That was how Jeff and David had stayed alive so long on their own. They had evaded the sensors and clung to the shadows, staying quiet and out of sight. They had only appeared at the most crucial moments to fire on the aliens. Maybe that was how he could save Sophie and Emmanuel and Holly now.
Bud, I got an idea,
Jeff said. David looked up at Jeff. His fearful expression had morphed into one of eagerness.
Yeah, what is it? You want to save everyone?
Of course I do.
Then let's do it,
Jeff said. He spoke louder so Emmanuel could hear.
Put us in the turret. The organics can't detect us, so if things get worse, we can hide more easily while the rest of you stay safe.
Emmanuel hesitated.
No, we can't.
There appeared to be some kind of battle going on in his head as he weighed the options. He glanced between the cryo chambers and Jeff.
Shit. Fine, go. Holly and I will prep the cryo chambers for moving and wake the other two up.
We won't let you down,
Jeff said, already halfway to the hatch.
Sonya said we don't have working comms or sensors up there,
Emmanuel said.
So run back here if things get bad. Otherwise, Holly or I will come and get you.
You got it,
Jeff said.
Please be careful,
Emmanuel said.
We will,
David said confidently. They ran up to the functioning turret. When they got there, Jeff settled into his seat and wrapped his fingers around the controls. He was ready to blast any organics that dared show their heads around here.
Jeff?
David asked.
Aren't these pointed the wrong way?
Jeff glanced at the display, which showed that the turret couldn't rotate toward the direction of the Radiant Dawn. They had no line of sight on the aliens. Jeff grimaced. These guns were next to useless. The spiders were going to come crawling all over the ship, and there was nothing they could do. Balma wouldn't get back in time to deal with this first wave either. It was up to them.
"Do you trust me?" Jeff asked.
"Of course,"
David replied with enthusiasm.
"We're going to need to get off the ship."
"Get off the ship?"
David said, his brows arched and eyes wide.
"Emmanuel told us."
Jeff pressed a finger to his lips.
"We've got to be quiet. It's the only way."
David nodded.
"Okay, let's grab our rifles and go."
They sprinted toward the armory. Once there, they scooped up a few magazines and a couple of rifles each. Jeff wanted to make sure they had extra weapons. None of the armor suits were built for their size. Even the smaller ones were too heavy, and Jeff had to strip the non-vital equipment. They were left with the bare minimum of environmental protection and, Jeff thought, their comms. Jeff tried talking into the helmet where he guessed the microphone was and was rewarded by his words coming out of David's speakers.
"Looks like they still work,"
Jeff said, donning his gloves. The gloves fit loosely around Jeff's fingers. He walked around the armory a bit, testing the suit, and tripped over his boots a couple times before getting used to the poor fit. If his plan worked, he wouldn't have to do a bunch of running. He just needed to get outside with David and find a good spot. It shouldn't be too hard, given how rocky the terrain was. They had to take out most of the armor plates from their suits. What they were left with was more of an oversized wetsuit than an armored suit, but it would have to do. Without the armor plates, they didn't have much protection. Then again, if they were relying on the armor to stop a spider's stabbing claws, they were doing something wrong. Jeff had seen that kind of armor break under a spider's duress with very little effort from the alien.
"We should take one of these, too,"
David said, pointing to one of the portable R-vamps Emmanuel had made.
"Definitely,"
Jeff said. He hoisted the device over his back. It was heavy and forced him to hunch. It hurt quite a lot as the straps made his poorly fitting suit dig into his shoulders. Maybe it would be better when they were outside of the sunspot's artificial gravity. He'd heard the gravity on Mars was much weaker. Besides, he could deal with some pain if that meant he helped the rest of the crew.
"Take some of those EMP grenades, too, okay?"
"You got it,"
David said, scooping several into his pack.
"Ready?"
"Ready,"
David said. They scurried back out of the wrecked armory and toward the nearest emergency exit airlock where Jeff scanned the controls. There were a myriad of flashing buttons and displays. Since coming aboard the sunspot, he'd never once thought about leaving it. Now he realized he wasn't sure how to initiate the right procedure to leave without sucking out all the atmosphere as they did so.
"What are you waiting for?"
David asked.
"I need to figure out how to get out of here." "Ask Sonya,"
David said.
"She'll tell Emmanuel. Then they'll tell us not to go."
"Oh,"
David said, looking downtrodden. Then he scooted over to the opposite side of the airlock.
"This says exit."
"Yeah, but..."
It was too late. David pulled down on a red handle. It locked into place and the inner hatch slammed shut, followed shortly by the outer hatch spiraling open. Air rushed out like the winds of a hurricane. The suction picked Jeff and David up and they tumbled outside. Jeff bounced over the rocky terrain, praying his suit didn't take any damage. When he skidded to a stop, he stood shakily. A few painful bumps cropped up around his butt and on his arms, but he didn't hear any hissing air, and there weren't any cracks in his visor.
"David,"
he called over the suit's comms.
"Are you okay?"
David was covered in red dirt. He stood and brushed himself off, then readjusted his pack.
"I'm okay."
Jeff surveyed the horizon. Blue glinted over to one side.
That must be the organics.
In the other direction, a rising dust cloud darkened the sky. That was probably the storm the adults were talking about earlier.
"Follow me,"
Jeff said. They loped off over the planet's surface, winding between the rocky columns and ditches. Jeff enjoyed the decreased gravity here. It let him jump higher and farther. He whooped with joy as David bounced along beside him, tumbling and laughing. It took some getting used to, but once he had it down, he could move across the landscape like Mario jumping over Goombas.
"There,"
Jeff pointed to a rocky precipice overlooking the sunspot. It was a perfect vantage point.
There were plenty of nooks and crannies they could hide in if they needed to disappear, too. They scrambled up the rock face and hunkered down in a position that gave them plenty to hide behind. David's eyes were glued to the incoming organics. "You sure you're up for this?" Jeff asked David, eyeing the spiders as they drew closer to the sunspot. "It's not too late if you want to go back in. I can do this myself."
"I'm not going anywhere," David said. "Dad told us to stick together no matter what."
"No matter what," Jeff repeated. He almost grinned. This was like those days back on Earth in White Sands. Just him and his brother fighting the monsters side by side. They could make a difference here. They could protect the sunspot. Make their dad proud. Dust filled the air in the wake of the advancing monsters.
"Now?"
David asked.
"No, not yet,"
Jeff said. His heart thumped faster. Adrenaline dumped into his blood vessels, and his fingers began trembling with nervous excitement. His body screamed at him to act now, but his mind was calmer. Balma's lessons about patience and waiting for the right moment were stronger than the primal reaction hammering through him.
"Don't do anything until they get closer. Then we use the R-vamp and blast them all."
More of the monsters accumulated in the narrow canyon.
"Now?"
David asked, aiming the R-vamp at the spiders.
"Now!"
Jeff said. He helped David yank back the trigger. The R-vamp whirred and let loose its electromagnetic pulse. The spiders tumbled into the invisible force. David knew what that meant without Jeff having to tell him. They both picked up their rifles and let loose at the organics in a concerted volley of rounds that sliced into the arachnid-like aliens. Because of the distance between them and the monsters, Jeff and David could take their time to line up devastating, well-placed shots. The bug-like creatures' heads burst in sprays of black armor and blue blood. Each kill filled Jeff with grim satisfaction. This was how they would save Sophie and the others. This was all they had to do. It was a massacre. The ambushed spiders didn't stand a chance. They lay across the ground in heaps of twitching legs and bleeding bodies.
"Nice job, bud,"
Jeff said, standing. He patted David on the shoulder. David shook his head and pointed back toward where the first few spiders had come from.
"There are more."
There was fear in his voice, and Jeff quickly saw why. His brother was right, and they no longer had the element of surprise. Some of the organics were scuttling up the rock face toward their position. Their legs moved in a blur, and their mandibles clicked together, hungry for prey. Jeff raised his rifle again and prepared to fire, with David following suit. A shriek exploded from behind them before they could squeeze off a round. Several more otherworldly wails followed. The boys both whirled toward a pack of spiders that had flanked them. In the face of this new danger, all Jeff could think was that Bama would be disappointed. His pulse exploded in a frenetic drumbeat, and the rest of the world seemed to fade away. The first spider reared up in front of him, slashing the air with a flurry of sharp claws. There was no good way to defeat these monsters here. There was only one option.
"Run!"
Jeff yelled. The corridors of the Radiant Dawn echoed with the shrieks of the spiders as the Sentinel crashed through them, choking the corridor. Balma's nerves fired like powerful lightning blasts. Each step he took seemed like it wasn't enough. Adrenaline poured through him, but still he seemed to be moving far too slowly. The organics were closing the distance at a gut-wrenching pace.
"We've got to do something!" Ort boomed.
Balma glanced at him and could see the sweat pouring down his face behind his visor.
"If we don't, we're spider food."
"Almost to the rhino," Diego said. "Just hold tight."
Sure, that might save them. They could take off and easily outpace the organics. But Balma knew what would happen if they raced straight back to the sunspot. The organics would follow. At the back of their minds, Ort and Diego were probably thinking the same thing. And Balma guessed they didn't want to condemn the defenseless group sheltering there either. Sonya's voice broke over their comms.
"I've detected more organics headed toward the sunspot."
"More from the dawn?"
Balma managed to ask as they ran.
"Negative, Corporal,"
Sonya replied.
"There appears to be a considerable organic force using the dust storm as cover."
"Shit!"
Balma said.
"Emmanuel knows about this?"
"I have just informed him. Yes, I have informed you."
"How many is considerable?"
"I've detected several dozen life forms ranging in size,"
Sonya said.
No chance that they're human? Diego asked.
The probability is exceedingly low, she replied.
Now he knew with dreadful certainty that they couldn't lead these organics back to the sunspot. The battle there was going to be bad enough. Adding 100 more of the aliens wasn't doing Emmanuel or the others any favors.
We've got to do something, and now, Balma said. I'm nearly out, Diego said between strides, slapping the magazine hanging under his rifle. Wish we had one big bug bomb, Ort said.
What Balma wouldn't give for an oversized can of Raid. Then it hit him. They did have a bomb.
Sonya, you can access some of the Dawn's controls, right? He asked.
That's correct,
the AI replied.
Can you access the ship's fusion reactor?
Yes,
Sonya said.
What's the status?
The reactor appears functional, but it was deactivated due to catastrophic damage to the containment chamber.
The wheels in Balma's head continued to turn. This would be a long shot, but it might work.
Meaning what?
Catastrophic damage will lead to catastrophic failure and all but certain destruction of the Radiant Dawn.
Diego caught Balma's eyes for a brief second, the cold, nearly emotionless look usually present in the soldier's eyes had been replaced with one of abject fear. But Diego nodded back at Balma, beginning to understand. When Balma risked a glance backward, his helmet-mounted light flashed over the ghoulish maw of a pursuing spider. The aliens continued to shriek behind them, and the sentinel thumped through the corridor. The clicks of their joints snapped like staccato gunfire against the bulkheads. Ahead was the hatch that would take them to the Rhino. It would be so easy to slip out of here and escape at all, but doing so would only delay the confrontation between man and alien.
"We have to detonate the ship,"
Balma said. Diego nodded, arms still pumping and boots crashing against the deck. Blowing the ship was the right choice, but it came with a cost.
"All the supplies," Ort said. "Doesn't matter if there are supplies if we all die," Diego said. "We've got to save the sunspot," Balma agreed.
He hated what that meant. It was practically a death sentence for Sophie. The whole point of rushing this mission had been to save her life. Now they were risking everyone's.
"Sonya," Diego said. "Overcharge the reactors."
"I am afraid I cannot do that, Lieutenant."
"Why the hell not?" Diego said.
There was desperation in his voice now. The hatch to the Rhino was directly in front of them. Spiders still churned behind them, and the sentinel was battering its way through them in the choked corridors.
"There is a manual override for the engine shutdown that cuts off the reactors," she replied. "The previous crew must have set it off to prevent the ship from detonating. The only way to reset the override is to manually reset the switch in the CIC.
"Then I guess that settles that," Balma said. "To the CIC. LT?" "To the CIC," Diego repeated.
The exterior hatch that promised them a swift escape to their Rhino practically beckoned them. They could drive away from this disaster so easily, escape into the rocky terrain of Mars. Instead, up the ladders they climbed, heading toward the CIC. They reached the wide chamber with all its consoles and empty seats. There was only one terminal on, the communications array. This had been the siren call that had brought them here, promising some clue as to what had happened to humanity on Mars. It seemed like they had found out.
"Where's that manual override switch?" Balma asked.
He searched the room for some big red lever or button. It had to be glaringly obvious.
"Right?"
"It's near the captain's console," Sonya droned back. "There is a touchpad there."
Balma swiveled on his heels and lunged for the captain's console. The demonic chorus of spiders echoed into the space.
"Reinforce that hatch!" Diego ordered Ort.
The huge soldier started shoving loose consoles and broken equipment in front of the hatch. For all the effort he was putting into it, the barricade would not hold long. The maneuver might buy them an extra 10 seconds. Mostly, they were relying on luck. Balma hoped there was no way the sentinel would fit through that hatch. That certainly didn't mean the thing wouldn't try, though.
"We've got one more trick to keep them out,"
Diego said. He punched a command that put the CIC on emergency lockdown. Red lights flashed above them and heavy reinforced partitions slid over the hatches. The command segregated parts of the ship with strong barricades to contain depressurization and vacuum exposure, while the ship's atmosphere had already been compromised from the organics assault.
Re-engaging the emergency lockdown initiated the repressurization of the CIC. Fresh air left over from the Dawn's supplies hissed into the space, and Diego's HUD reported increasing oxygen concentrations and pressure levels.
"Could have just done that," Ort said. "Save me the work."
"Every bit helps," Balma said. "Slow down those alien assholes as long as we can." Those alien assholes continued battering the CIC's entrance. That entrance was also their exit. Balma wasn't sure how the hell it would get out. He brushed the thought from his mind. They would figure that one out when they got there. If they got there.
"How do I reset that override?" Balma shouted.
Sonya responded in as calm a voice as ever. "Place your fingers on the touchpad."
This wasn't quite the big red button Balma was expecting, but he did as requested. The screen remained black. Something heavy threw itself against the hatch.
"It's not working, Sonya!"
Balma pressed his hand against it harder, hoping the gesture would be recognized.
"It should require a simple touch to wake the systems up," Sonya said.
"I don't care what it should do," Balma said. "It's not doing it!"
More creatures screamed outside the hatch. The jarring sound of claws scraping against metal tore through the CIC.
"Oh, of course," Sonya said, almost excited. "All the system's emergency power has been rerouted to the communications array. I must re-engage the emergency power systems to the CIC."
"Yes, then please fucking do that!"
Balma said. All at once the lights flickered on. Terminals whined to life and displays glowed. Alarms barked and flashed until Diego slammed his fist on a command to mute them.
"Now, select the emergency override reset command,"
Sonya said.
"You will need a second person to validate the command at the nav panel."
Diego nodded and ran to the nav panel. He reached toward it to confirm the command. Before his fingers touched it, the entire CIC shook with a violent fury. A monstrous roar blasted into the chamber. Part of the bulkhead near Ort bent inward.
"Holy shit!"
Ort said, scrambling to regain his balance. The bulkhead started to tear. Metal screamed in protest.
"Hit that confirmation!"
Balma yelled. Diego regained his footing and slammed his fist against the panel. All at once, a loud thrumming filled the CIC. The ship quaked, as if preparing to take off, and a host of new alarms flashed across their displays.
"Reactors have been re-engaged and overloaded," Sonya reported. "Catastrophic failure imminent. I estimate we have no more than 10 minutes before the first reactor experiences meltdown."
"Let's get the hell out of here!"
Diego said. The bulkhead continued to bow inward. Claws pressed through the twisted metal, and a spider forced its head in. Its mandibles ripped back, and it let out a scream of animalistic fury.
"Arvamp?"
Ort asked.
"If you use the RVAP in here, you'll fry the CIC's systems," Balma said. "We can't risk that!"
Ort battered the spider's head with gunfire. The rounds slapped uselessly against its shield. It didn't even bother recoiling. Other claws forced their way around the spider's head, desperate to get at the humans.
"If we don't use the RVAP or EMP grenades on these bastards, we're not getting out the way we came in,"
Ort said. Balma looked around the CIC for an alternate exit. All the scratching and screaming and clawing pressed on his mind. Other bulkheads were now bending inward, yielding to the organics' attack. There would be no escape back through the ship. He felt as if he was stuck in a closing garbage compactor, watching the walls press in on him. Already he could hear his bones crack and flesh tear. The organics would be on them soon, and even if they outlasted the aliens, they would die in the exploding reactors.
"Can't go through the corridors!" Balma said. "So let's make our own!"
He pointed to the wide viewports at the front of the CIC. Diego looked between the bending bulkhead hatches and the clear polymer viewports.
"We're going to have to blow them, Ort!" "This is insane, LT! Can't use EMPs, but explosives are okay!"
Ort said. Sonya appeared on the CIC's fizzling screens.
"The circuits controlling the power systems are better insulated against physical forces than they are against internal electromagnetic disturbances on the scale of your RWAMP device."
"Whatever you say!"
Ort nodded and began setting a chain of explosive grenades along the edges of the viewports. The AI continued.
It is better to...
Sonya's image suddenly distorted, then was replaced by that of an unfamiliar AI. This one appeared garbled by a static snowstorm, its features elongated and blurred.
I have an important message,
the AI said. Its face came into focus briefly before growing pixelated once again. Every word came out agonizingly slow. Bauma wanted to wrap his fingers around the AI's shoulders and shake it.
I am Evangeline, the native AI of the Radiant Dawn. Thank you for bringing me online again.
Bauma stood transfixed in front of the screen. It took only a second before a spider's bloodthirsty cry and the sound of tearing metal knocked him back to his senses. Do you know where the colony is?
The location of the colony is transferred to Sonya. Apologize for the data. My systems are not fully functional.
Is it safe from organics? Diego demanded.
I cannot answer that with certainty,
the broken AI said. Bauma glanced at the time display on his suit's HUD. They had only a couple of minutes left before the ship went up in flames.
Just send us everything you do know through Sonya!
He yelled at Evangeline. We've got to go!
Our damaged communications array was unable to send you the rest of our message,
the AI said.
I would like to amend it. Danger. High organic presence detected within the vicinity of the Radiant Dawn. It is not recommended to land near this vessel.
Oh, no shit!
Ort said, the sarcasm loud and clear amid the roars of the organics tearing into the CIC.
I estimate the friendly AI is too corrupt to provide any more useful data,
Sonya reported.
Then I estimate it's time to go!
Diego said.
Blow the screens!
In Bauma's mind's eye, he saw the wreckage of all the other ships that had landed near the Radiant Dawn. Maybe they'd come to offer aid, or, like the Sunspot, this was the only human signal they'd detected on Mars. Either way, if, by the grace of God, there were others out there making the journey from Earth to Mars, they might intercept the same signal. Even if they destroyed this ship, other AIs might be relaying the message, and more humans could be headed this way. His thoughts turned to Captain Noble. Surely that surly old sea dog and his crew would find a way off the planet. Bauma would be damned if they didn't at least try to warn him that the Radiant Dawn was a trap.
Wait!
Bauma said before Ort could set off the explosives. Ort shot him a bemused look. The Sunspot's comm arrays had been damaged, just like the Dawn's had, but maybe...
Sonya, send an encrypted warning to all human AIs that might be out there. Tell them about the Dawn and the organics on Mars. They have to know that there's someone on this planet, but don't let them fall into this trap!
It will be difficult to ensure the integrity of such a communication with either the Dawn or the Sunspot,
Sonya said.
If we're lucky, enough of the message will get through from each ship that someone back on Earth or flying through space will get it!
Bauma said.
As you wish.
Sonya paused before relaying a new message.
To anyone that's listening, this is AI Sonya of the NTC Sunspot, broadcasting from Mars. We believe We have located the colony, but there are also organics here and no sign of humans. Stand by for more information.
She sent the coordinates and then said,
I've programmed this as a repeating broadcast.
Good!
Balmer replied. He flinched as one of the hatches tore off the bulkhead. Broken pieces of displays and terminals flew with it, clattering about the CIC, the shuddering from the overloading reactor.